reading that portion that you read, that you wrote, I should say, for our bulletin this week. Thank you very much. The hymn of the day for us today is "This Is My Father's World." Kind of piggybacks on what you just read, Kathleen. Let me just give you a little bit of a background on "This Is My Father's World." It was written by a pastor. His name was Maltby Davenport Babcock. He lived in Lockport, New York, which is just a short distance to the east of Buffalo and Niagara Falls. Pastor Babcock would love to walk on the Niagara Escarpment. Just think about that. The Niagara Escarpment out in New York, the same Niagara Escarpment that we have here in our lovely Door County. And as he would go out with his wife and walk on the Niagara Escarpment, enjoying all of its beauty, he would say to her, "I think we ought to go take a walk in our Father's world." And so that is our hymn for today. "This Is My Father's World." Verses of the hymn at this time. "This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world, I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas, his hand the wonders wrought. This is my Father's world, oh let me not forget that though the wrong is oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. He trusts us with his world to keep it clean and fair. All earth and trees, all skies and seas, all creatures everywhere. This is my Father's world. He shines in all that's fair. In the rustling grass I hear him pass. He speaks to me everywhere. This is my Father's world. Why should my heart be sad? The Lord is King. Let the heavens ring. God reigns. Let the earth be glad." Concerns to our Lord. Our prayers today would include prayers for Dean, who has health issues, for Niall's sister-in-law who passed away, and prayers for her husband, Gene, and family. For Dawn's brother John and his wife Lois, who are recovering from COVID-19. Prayers for the family of Gladys, who died this past week. Prayers for Steve and family on the passing of Steve's brother Bill. And prayers for the South Carolina city of Seneca, which was devastated by recent tornadoes. And again, tornadoes that came through that same area again last night. Please join me in prayer. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, our prayers this morning are many, spoken and unspoken. The prayers that we bring you today are for those people that we have mentioned, all those whom we bring before you, before your throne of grace, ask for your blessing to them, for your peace to them, and your strength. And Lord God, at this very difficult time in our world, in our country, we ask that you will continue to place your hand upon the many people who are so direly affected by this coronavirus. Lord God, watch over each one. Watch over the workers. Watch over the sick. Watch over those who are dying and their families. Watch over all of us, Lord God, as we continue to experience something that none of us has ever experienced in our lifetime. Grant us, through it all, Lord God, your strength and your peace. And grant us the courage that we might have to reach out to others as we can be of any kind of help. So, God, for all of this we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
The Holy Scriptures. Our first lesson is Psalm 16. Protect me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, You are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the holy ones in the land, they are the noble, in whom is all my delight. Those who choose another god multiply their sorrows. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names upon my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I keep the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my soul rejoices. My body also rests secure. For you do not give me up to Sheol, or let your faithful one see the pit. You show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Our second lesson is from 1 Peter, chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you have to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, that though perishable, is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy, for you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls.
The Holy Gospel for this Sunday after Easter, recorded in the Gospel of St. John, chapter 20, beginning at verse 19. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. That's the reading of our gospel for today. Dear friends in Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, who is Jesus the Christ. Amen. And so we come to this first Sunday after Easter. The text takes us to that night of Easter, that very first Sunday night. And the disciples are in a house and they're afraid. And so the doors are locked, and they are remembering that their Savior and their friend Jesus has died. He was killed just a couple of days earlier. And could we be next? And thus the doors are locked in the place where they were. But it says to them, it says in the scripture about them that Jesus came and he stood among them. And he said, "Peace be with you." Now, Thomas wasn't there that night, but they were still, the rest of the disciples, together with others, and they were afraid. Now, remember that morning, it was Mary Magdalene who was the first that went to the tomb on that Easter morning. And when Mary got to the tomb on that morning, she found that the stone had been rolled away. And so she runs back to the other disciples and tells them what she has discovered at the tomb. And Peter and John go with her back to the tomb, and sure enough, the stone has been rolled away. And so they go inside the tomb, and inside the tomb they found that the body is gone. What could this all mean? So the disciples, the two of them, John and Peter, run back to be with the other disciples and to tell them what they found. But Mary remains there by the tomb. She lingers there, and she is weeping. And a man comes up to her, and she supposes that he is the gardener. That it turns out to be Jesus. And Jesus tells her to go back and tell the disciples what she has seen, and so she does. And she returns and she says to them, I have seen the Lord, I have seen Jesus. Could this really be true? Regardless of Mary's statement to them, they still shelter in place. What does the future hold for us? Filled with fear and anxiety, Jesus does appear to them. And he breathes on them at that point. And he says, receive the Holy Spirit. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. Wow. Can you imagine what must have been going through the disciples at that moment? Jesus was dead, but he is alive again. And he speaks to them that word of peace. What does this all mean? Now, as the scripture says, Thomas wasn't there with them on that night. And so when later in the week, the disciples tell Thomas that they have seen Jesus, Thomas says to them, I need to see him with my own eyes. I need to feel him with my own hands. Now, it's not like I don't believe you, but I guess I don't really believe you. And so they continued fearful, and they continued to be in place. Don't we, in this day, feel somewhat like the disciples in that locked room, in that locked house? Don't we feel that way just a little bit, perhaps? Safer at home, sheltering in place, keeping that 6-foot distance between you and the other person, wearing masks when we're out in public. We all have fears, and we are all anxious about many things these days. What does it all mean? Could I get COVID-19? Someone in my family? Absolutely yes. Think about the people that we know who perhaps have this, or think about the people who have come down with the virus and perhaps in hospital, ICU, on a ventilator, people who have died and their families. The horrific experience that we see on television of people in those places where they have had the real crush of the disease, of the virus. Think of the healthcare workers, the fears that many of them must have. The EMTs, all the people who are charged with the responsibility to care for us. We have 3 in our own family, a son and a daughter, and a son-in-law in the healthcare field. We have fears for them and what it all may mean to them. How about the people who have lost their jobs, people who have lost their businesses? I think about the cars, the lines of cars of people looking for food. That just doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. But it is. Think about people who have lost everything. Again, we have someone in our family who has happened to. Lost everything. And they do not qualify for federal aid. A lot of fear there. What will the future hold for us? What will it be like for our families, for the community, state, country, for the world? What will the new normal be like in the future? I have one fear that comes to me, and I think some of you perhaps share that same fear. It goes back to how the devastating debacle that we had in our voting here in Wisconsin just a few weeks ago. Will COVID-19 and all that comes with COVID-19 have an effect on our November elections? Will those elections be free and fair and open? I have a fear. It goes along with many other fears that this virus has brought to us. In so many ways, my friends, our fears and anxieties are not unlike those of the disciples 2,000 years ago. It was a test for them, and it is a test for us today. But I want to say to you this morning that as the text moves along, the fears of the disciple are not the end of the story. Because the text goes on, and there is a good ending to that text. 7 days later, when they are again together, Thomas is there. They are still sheltering in place, and the door is still locked. Jesus comes again, and he stands among them. And he goes to Thomas, and he says, "Thomas, put your hand out here. Feel the holes in my hands, the hole in my side." And Thomas, in one short, curt phrase, simply says, "My Lord and my God." Thomas goes from absentee to skeptic to believer. Quite a journey. It's probably a journey that many of us may have been on in our life, and perhaps we still are. It's a journey of discovery, and probably that journey never ends. We are always on that journey of discovery, and I would say it's a rather healthy journey. A man by the name of Blaise Pascal, you may have heard of him. He was a French mathematician, physicist, inventor, writer, Catholic theologian. He was born in 1623. He lived but 39 years. But in his 39 years, he accomplished so much. And he left us with a veritable trove of quotes. And if you want to read some of them, Google Blaise Pascal. Three of them I read for you. "We know the truth, not only by reason, but by the heart. Justice without force is powerless. Force without justice is tyrannical." And one that applies to those of us who are the Thomases among us. And he says, "To doubt is as human as running is for a horse. As the horse needs to exercise, so we need to exercise our doubts." Thomas certainly exercised his doubts, which led to certainty, which led to believing, and which led to him taking very seriously Jesus' command, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." Legend tells us that early on in the Christian community, Thomas sailed to South India. And there he established the Christian community. And it was there that he died, near the city of Madras. 1,500 years later, a Portuguese group of colonists arrived in South India, and they found the Christians there. They found the legend of Thomas there, and they found where Thomas had planted that community of believers and where Thomas died. Now, the other disciples also had their time of great fear, but they also became empowered by the Holy Spirit to do great things. That was their moment, and they rose to the challenge. Not without great hardship, not without martyrdom for most of them, and the church they planted prevails today, even through streaming. We all have our fears and anxieties and doubts about the future. This is our moment as God's people, and how we are going to respond to this pandemic that has washed itself over all of us. How are we going to handle, how will our country and world handle this dreaded virus? Can we, like Thomas and the other disciples, rise to meet this challenge? I pray for strength for all of us. I pray for wisdom for all of us. I pray for courage for all of us as we move to meet the days ahead. And I want to conclude then with just again reading a hymn. Rise up, O saints of God. Rise up, O saints of God. Despair engulfs earth's frame. As heirs of God's baptismal grace, his word of hope proclaim. Give heed, O saints of God, creation cries in pain. Stretch forth your hand in healing now, with love the weak sustain. Commit your hearts to seek the path which Christ has trod, and quickened by the Spirit's power, rise up, O saints of God. Amen. Thank you. Receive now the benediction of our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.